fifth time in the last six seasons, the Dutch are the champions.
This is Gary O'Neill to win it.
Terrific header, Callum Robinson, super ball in.
Great feeling, we have to treasure these nights.
Well, hello there, welcome along to the RT Soccer Podcast. It's great to be back. Alan Cawley is here, so too is Ed Leahy. I'm from Soccer Republic, James O'Toole. James is eating fruit at the moment.
It's February
and he's eating fruit. And normally, of course, in other podcasts, he was a cake man.
Here, hang a second. Still a week left of pre-season, you know. We have to get it in before we start back.
You weren't doing much pre-season by the lucky, I tell you that much. I couldn't resist.
Yeah, straight in.
Look at me, lean, mean, fighting machine.
Yeah. Ed, you're looking good. You've been dining out on the Shamrock Rovers glory over the last couple of months, I'm sure.
In fairness, the cup... The cup victory almost ran to Christmas. It was probably the most travelled person in or thing in Dublin, wasn't it? It was everywhere. There was photographs turning up everywhere. But look, it got out to a lot of schools and places where it brought the message across, and it brought inclusion, and you know, it shows. Like, it's a beautiful cup anyway, so like, you know.
Oh, it's a beautiful thing.
You're milking it.
It's a beautiful cup.
Like, you know,
as cups go.
It did actually create a sort of like, you know, you wouldn't know a certain time arriving at schools, really, but it did actually create.
But that's important. That kind of stuff is important. And there was the brilliant video over the Christmas of the young lad with the birthday party with Aaron Green. That was it, brilliant. And those are the things that matter to kids. And obviously you're always trying to appeal to a new audience, as we know, and we're always looking to get newcomers. And fairness to a lot of the clubs are doing a lot of good work now in the community. So that was a really brilliant story. The kid started crying when he saw Aaron Green coming in.
I'm not sure Hooperman is too happy with. He used to get all these gigs, you know. I think he turned up. He turns up at the odd wedding and birthday party, but he's been sidelined.
And Alan, what have you been doing? How have you been spending your Friday nights in the absence? Do you realise, since the FAI Cup final, since Gary O'Neill converted that penalty for Shamrock Rovers, until next Friday night, 103 days.
Is it 100?
No, I haven't been counting them day by day, but I did a Google search.
Marking them off the wall.
Yeah, on the wall.
How many Fridays are in that 103 days? Who's good at the maths now? Go on, 7. There must be... 14, 15, 12, 7, 84, so I've wasted 15 Friday nights. And I'm not being disrespectful to Ryan Hoverty in a little age, should I say that, but I don't know, Adrian, just lounging
saw your
around.
Tweet on Sunday when the President's Cup was called off. You were like the...
Storm Carer ruined that as well, yeah. Although I did get a game in Friday night, so I was kind of... My pre-season started on Friday. I was in Talca Park for Shelburne and Bray, just to get a feel of obviously a couple of the teams. Wanted to get a look at Shelburne, and I was heading to Oriel yesterday only for Stormcare. So yeah, everybody knows how much I love the league, so I can't wait for it to be back Friday.
James, are you excited about the start of the league? Because I think everybody is, and yet there has to be a feeling that it's going to be Dundalk and Shamrock Rovers again.
Yeah, I'm excited for the start of it. I'm like Alan, I've caught up on a couple of more matches than Alan has in pre-season with a couple of friendlies and what have you. But I was really looking forward to yesterday. I know the two teams weren't going to go hell for leather against each other with the season obviously starting only a week away, but I was really looking forward to yesterday's game to see how they'd...
I think they would have went hell for leather yesterday. Absolutely.
Each other, like, do you know what I mean? So I'm looking forward to it rolling on Friday at last. I can't wait for it, to tell you the truth.
Okay. Well, we've got plenty of guests coming up to hear from. We've Vinnie Perth, Kieran Kilduff, Conor Davis, David Cawley of Sligo Rovers, Ronan Finn of Shamrock Rovers as well. Tell you what, let's start with Vinnie Perth. He's been chatting at the launch for the new league season about the new signings and indeed the season ahead.
The obvious one is Darragh Leahy, an Irish under 21 international, and his hunger to come to the club. When I met Darragh, I sort of had a couple of options in that position, and just once you meet a guy like that, he blew me away, and that doesn't happen that often. His real hunger and desire to come to the club was huge. You know, Greg Sloggett's someone we've trailed in Dundalk for a couple of years, and probably regret not getting him last year. So, and then, you know, Will Patchen again. and Cammy Smith, young players with something to prove, and we've been very good at that. And we probably don't get the credit for developing young players like McGrath signed for us at 21, and you know Boyle, Horgan over the years, Hoban signed for us at a young age, and we made them better over the next couple of years. So yeah, really excited about our signings, and there's a fresh hunger about the group again, which you need, and that's what the sort of evolution of the squad's all about. The young players coming in and driving and keeping the senior pros of, you know, Gartland, Boyle, Massey on their toes and ready to kick on.
And Vinny, you don't have an easy opener, Derry City, albeit at home on the opening night, but Derry a bit of an unknown quantity because Declan Devine has brought in so many new players. He's had to, really.
Yeah, they're the one team last year that really made it difficult for us. At times we just struggled to beat them and get the job done, and played it well against them. So yeah, it's a difficult opening, but I think this year with the reintroduction of Shells as well, I think it's going to be a very competitive year. I think Finn Harps have done excellent work as well, so I think the Standard League continues to grow, and I'm actually quite confident that we'll have a very, very competitive league this year.
Yeah, he's expecting a very competitive league, Alan. They've made a lot of signings. Well, when I say a lot, maybe four or five, which isn't that many. But given the strength of Dundalk already, Sloggett coming in from Derry, former UCD player. The Serbian from Red Star Belgrade, or was at Red Star Belgrade, Stefan Kolovic, Cammy Smith, Will Patching, Dara Leahy, who we heard him talk about initially. Some very exciting players there, but as with every club, a lot of signings that we're not familiar with just yet. So it'll be interesting to see what kind of strength and depth Dundalk now have.
Yeah, I think, and that's what Vinny has been looking for, to be fair, particularly around the European games, Adrian. You know, he wants that kind of two players for every position going into those games, particularly because it is a step up, as we've seen last year. And he already has mentioned that a lot in any of the interviews that he's spoken about. So I think the business that he's done is very good. The beauty about the likes of, I suppose, Dundalk, Shamrock Rovers, these clubs in the last 3-4 years, we've seen something similar with Cork until last year, but they're able to give players longer term contracts now. So their squads are basically assembled that they're only maybe losing 2 or 3 and only having to bring in 2 or 3, which I think is a good thing. So obviously Leahy and Sloggett, I think, are excellent signings. I'm a big fan of Dara Leahy, obviously a regular, and Stephen Kenny's under 21s as well. I felt that he was one with a real opportunity of maybe going across the water, but I think the next best thing from here is obviously going to Dundalk. Sloggett coming down as well from Derry City, I think he had a really good season with Derry City as well. I think he's an excellent signing. And then, as you say, the unknown lads with Cammy Smith coming in, highly regarded, but he's on loan from Dundee United, made a few appearances, 76 with Aberdeen when he came through their youth setup. So it'll be interesting to see how he gets on as well. I think a creative midfielder. Obviously the foreign lad Kolovic as well and Will Patching are a bit unknown, so it'll be interesting to see how they fare as well. So I think Vinny's done good business. We all know the quality that they possess, and as everybody has said already, I think they're the team to beat again this year.
Yeah, and they start, as we mentioned there, James, at home to Derry City, and you talk about newcomers to Dundalk, wholesale changes at Derry. They've lost the Golden Boot winner from last season, Junior, and David Parkhouse gone as well.
Yeah, it seems to be a regular thing now with Derry City, because unlike what Alan's saying, you can't really offer players massive contracts, and we're kind of Derry relying on fellas on loan. The likes of Parkhouse, the likes of Junior and stuff like that, we're all on loan. Losing Barry McNamee this year again, Barry wanting to go part-time football with Finn Harps, but bringing in Conor McCormick, bringing in Conor Clifford, there's a couple of other guys have come in there as well. Nielsen's come in.
They seem to be very excited about him.
Yeah, I watched him last Friday night up in Abbottstown against Bray Wanderers. Looked really, really good on the ball. Has had a period out of football because of injury, I think it was, but he's back in pre-season, and his pace at the ball and his runs are very, very good. He's probably a little bit off the pace as far as match fitness is concerned, but
in terms of comparing him, James, to Parkhouse,
I think he's like for like.
Is he? Yeah,
almost like for like. Well, probably a little bit more.
Because one thing I felt
with his runs than Parkhouse was. Parkhouse just ran and ran and ran and ran.
And that's what I found offered Derry so much last year, because the press from the front from him, he scored a lot of goals, but the work rate
his work rate was unbelievable. What made him the player he was. He just ran himself into the ground. I don't think, he only played for 75 minutes or so, but from the 75 minutes, he's still not quite fit enough for match fitness. I don't think he's going to give that type of player. I don't think he's going to give that push on. And then obviously the replacement for Junior is Walter, from Waterford.
Figueroa, yeah.
And I said this on the podcast last year. I thought that if Waterford got him earlier in the season, they wouldn't have been where they finished.
The game we covered towards the end against Bowes and Dalymount, really man of the match, player. He was brilliant at it. So I think he's a good signing, but it's a lot to lose half their goals with Junior and Parkhouse.
It's a lot to lose, and Decky has, I think he might be under a little bit more pressure this year because he's had longer in the job. He hasn't just been parachuted in like he was last year. But this would be a tough
And to
game.
Lose Barry McNamee is massive as well.
He has, but Conor McCormick and Clifford as well, there, they played beside each other on Friday night and they were very, very good together. Really, really good. They kind of swapped position as who's going to be the holding midfielder depending on where the ball was in on the pitch, and with young Jack Malone in front of them as well. So they were playing those three as a triangle or a in the middle of the park, and that worked, seemed to work against Bray very, very well. Like, so.
But do you think they'll do well? I mean, I know it's difficult at this remove.
It's very difficult because Dundalk, as you said, as Alan's alluded to, they've only replaced three or four people. Like, do you know what I mean? And once you have that consistency in your squad, same at Rovers. Rovers have replaced a couple of people. Derry have basically replaced half a squad. Pats have replaced a squad. You'd expect Pats under Stephen O'Donnell for a full season to be a lot better. Keith Long, we've seen what he can do with Bowes with minimal resources, so expect that. I think it's going to be tough. I think it's going to be a tough, tough season for Derry. I don't think it's going to be...
At least, I suppose, Derry will look to maybe capitalise on Dundalk early season. Like, if they get them like they did last year, Dundalk starts slowly in the league. Yeah. But, you know, having spoken to Vinnie Pert last week, I found him very interesting. He had some really interesting takes on different things, and couple of things that stood out was, like, one, he was saying, like, the young players he was bringing to the club, he was almost putting it up to the older players to, he says, it if the older players can match the younger players, they'll step up a level. So, you know, usually it'd be the other way around. Like, usually you'd be hearing that, well, the older lads will bring these lads in, but he's putting pressure almost on the older players.
Well, he spoke a lot in an interview I read there recently about going from the coach to the manager to a leader. And he feels as though last year he was a bit too much hands-on, coming from the coach, still being very coach-like in the managerial role, whereas this year he's aiming towards being more like a leader as such. And that was the terminology that he used, which is interesting in itself. I suppose that's the modern world we live in. He spoke about going to watch the rugby team train and different teams and picking up different, I suppose, points from other managers and Leo Cullen and the like and these people. So... it will be interesting to see how they get on. I suppose from Derry's point of view, like James said, I think they'll do okay again, but I just think something similar to what we've seen last year, bar the top two, I think it's wide open again for those European positions between five or six clubs, and I'd say that'll be the exact same
story. Yeah, I think it'll be tighter. Like, in fairness, we mentioned this towards the end of last season, St. Pat's were very, very close to getting that European spot.
They're only
last
5
year.
Points off in the end.
Considering how poorly they started the season, and the middle of the season wasn't great either. So I think Bowes, Derry, Pats, Waterford, I think I wouldn't rule out Shelburne to be in that mix either.
Yeah, we'll come on to Shelburne in a moment, but just Shamrock Rovers, a bit quiet on the signings. Reece Marshall in from Glenavon and Liam Scales from UCD. I know, like all clubs, Shamrock Rovers are actively pursuing a striker, but they're very, very hard to find. But what's the feeling among Shamrock Rovers supporters, Ed, about the signings during the close season? Not too many.
I think everyone has to sort of just sit back and trust what's going on at the club. I think that's what they did last season to a certain extent, and it paid off. Look, the squad is strong. There's not really anywhere that you would really be too worried about. Obviously the old goal scorer, fox in the box type, but you know they're very rare to come across. And I think Grover showed in the second half of the season that attacking unit, especially since Graham Burke came back, and with Jack playing more of a central role almost in the 10, you know, with the boys bombing up the wings, I think they're going to be formidable.
Formidable enough, though, to really challenge Dundalk. 11 points the margin at the end of last season, but of course Dundalk had the league wrapped up with 4 games to go. Can they really push Dundalk this season, do you think?
Well, those 11 points, I suppose, if Rovers had beaten Dundalk twice, that would have flipped that, you know, which I think I'm right in saying. But then, like, it was the points they dropped against, you know,
Bohemians. It's the rivals. They beat everyone else, no problem. And that'll be the same this year. They'll beat everyone else, no problem. It's the head-to-head games against the closest rivals. And if you look at all the games they played, in those 8 games last year, they only won 1 against Bohemians and they drew against Dundalk once. They lost all the other games. That's 4 points out of a possible... It's 24. Like, it's just... And that's what killed them in the end, Adrian. I suppose the question you asked there, have they enough to really put up a challenge? I think they do this year. I really do, yeah. I still think Dundalk are the favourites and the team to beat, but I do expect Shamrock Rovers to put up a much better fight and push them all the way this year. I think Liam Scales is an excellent signing from UCD, and also the player who was signed mid-season but he was injured and obviously he'll be ready to go this year is Ferrugia, is a really, really big sign, and he was then. I think with him fully fit, I think he'll have a big impact on the team this year, so I'm expecting a big challenge from Shamrock Rovers this year.
Okay, well, let's hear from the Shamrock Rovers camp. Here's Ronan Finn, of course, and naturally the squad boosted by that tremendous FAI Cup win, a first FAI Cup for Shamrock Rovers since 1987, so no doubt about it, confidence is high in the Hoops camp.
It's huge. Like, I mean, if it hadn't worked out for us on the day, and considering how well we played, you know, would have been a blow. The manager would have really had to galvanise us, but luckily it didn't work out like that. Really bounced into pre-season, we've been confident, and you know, we've been looking forward to the start of the season, which is thankfully nearly upon us.
Expectations at Shamrock Rovers are always high, but given that cup success and given the fact that most people feel Rovers are the best placed team to challenge Dundalk, how much pressure does that put on you and the team for the rest of the for this year?
Well, I think the pressure, like you said, is always, you know, at Shamrock Rovers. That's part of the club, playing in front of the fans. They demand success, but it also the cup success that galvanises. You know, it's really giving us a group, that bit of confidence that maybe that we needed, also that bit of experience of getting over the line. It's something that, you know, we do play a lovely brand of football, but you know, Dundalk have been, you know, steady over the years, and they've been finding a way to win. For us, the cup final was we played really well, you know, we had to rally in extra time, and you know, we won on penalties, we found a way. So for us as a group, it was huge. You know, it was hopefully stem give us you know, just that bit of confidence now going into the season.
Just on that, is there anything specifically that Shamrock Rovers you think need to improve on if they are to become champions?
Like I said, we do try and play football, and we try and, you know, the manager wants us to play a certain brand. So maybe, you know, it's growing on that, you know, but also just finding a way to win sometimes, like we did in the cup final. Obviously, we want to play as good a football as we can, but just finding that, you know, level of consistency, even if you're not playing, you know, well, you find a way to win. But I think that comes with experience, and that's something that's been growing over the last couple of years. The managers, you know, recruited so well over the years, and I think we've now got a group that's, you know, ready to challenge.
There you go, that's Ronan Finn. No doubt about it, Ed, confidence should be high heading into the new season. That cup win will just boost them so much, won't it?
I think it will, but you know, they'll be brought straight back down to earth on Saturday afternoon when they come out at Dalymount Park, you know, and like it that's the one thing that I think Rovers really missed out on not having the President's Cup game to help them to really kick in to start off in top gear, because you know, Dundalk and Rovers, neither were going to play their full team, and neither of them were going to go 100%, but it would have been a great game just to springboard them into the start of the season, because to start off a season away at Dalymount, that's going to be a very tough ask, and they're going to have a really quick start in that game. And if they can get a quick start, if they can go and maintain and bring that continuity in from the end of last season, they could have a comfortable afternoon there. But you know,
if comfortable afternoon at Dalymount.
I think so, yeah.
You need to rephrase that. No.
I think they've shown, you know, by the end of last season, they finally shown
that. That
I think they finally shown how you know, to get over it all and just get out and beat them. And I think they will beat them on Saturday. But if both score an early goal, it's you know, all.
Yeah, well, that game is live on RTE Television. RTE2 coverage starts at 1:30, kick-off at 2:00, and it's also on Saturday Sport on RTE Radio 1. Look, at Alan, I know how big a fan you've become of those Dublin derbies. They're massive occasions now.
Oh, they're absolutely brilliant, Adrian. Yeah, I went to every one of them last year, and they're just brilliant occasions, and that's what they've turned into.
How'd you get a ticket?
No, I'm well in with the Bose the Bose crew, but no, it is. They've been brilliant, and brilliant games as well. Like, they've lived up to the hype, which is even more important. It's okay us kind of trying to hype them up and then them falling flat in their face, but every one of them have lived up to the hype, and that's largely down to the fact the Bohemians have played their part massively as well and have a brilliant record against Shamrock Rovers. It was only up until the last game of the season there where obviously Shamrock Rovers turned it around, and then they beat them in the cup semi semi-final. That was a big one as well, the cup semi-final, because that was a game where I felt it went to Daly Mount, and for the first time in all the fixtures that they've played them in the last 8 or 9, that they managed the game and controlled it and really kind of dominated Bohemians for the first time in a long time. Bose will obviously be well up for it. We all know they've lost their talisman Derek Pender, but they've been active in the transfer market as well. Obviously Keith has assembled a good squad there that got them into third place last year, but he's also brought in Glenn McCauley from Pats. I think he'll be a good addition to the side. I was impressed with him in a couple of games with Pats towards the end of last year. I think Kieran Kelly at centre half will be a good addition as well. I'm surprised St. Pat's got let him go. He was one of their better players last year. A lot of talk about the young lad that's home, Callum Thompson, on loan from Wolves as well. Apparently he's an exciting player. And I think, to be fair, as we've all mentioned last year, Keith Long and Trevor Crawley have done a brilliant job. They'll be looking to obviously try and sustain that again this year, and if they were to finish in Europe, they'll be delighted with that. So it's set up to be an absolutely brilliant starter, a great game to kick it off. I don't mind the fact that it's on Saturday as well, Adrian, because
does it take some of the fizz out of the occasion?
It does a little bit. It does a little bit, and I don't understand why. I know why it was changed, but I don't understand how the police or security are not able to control 3,000 or 4,000 fans on a Friday night. But the fact that it's on the Saturday, I think, adds another side to it, in the fact that there'll be so much more interest in it, and a lot more people will be able to sit at home and watch it on television as well, League of Ireland fans. So I'll be in attendance, and I can't wait, to be honest.
Well, it is a shame that opening game of the season for whoever you support, and you can't go to see your team playing, and it's just the nature of Daly Mount and the nature of the fixture. I suppose, like, you know, the FAI weren't thinking about that specific thing when they were picking the fixtures, or the computer was generating these fixtures for the season ahead. But like, you know, so there was a queue at the door of Tala last week for tickets, and likewise up in Daly Mount, the tickets are long gone, you know. So the sooner Daly Mount gets redeveloped, the better, and then this fixture will be just phenomenal.
Well, you had 7,000 or 8,000, no problem, wouldn't you?
Well, that's what they had at Tala last year. Remember, they'd one of the biggest crowds in a League of Ireland game.
And that was a Tuesday night.
But at Daly Mount, it's something special.
If you get that amount at Daly Mount as well, like, if it's redeveloped properly and it's there, I think it being under lights creates a bit more atmosphere as well. I think everybody feels it a bit more under lights and stuff. I'm not too sure about it.
Well, even the advert that's run on the television at the moment is brilliant.
Yeah.
And obviously it's folks on that fixture, and it's brilliant, even the advert. That kind of is mouth-watering enough just watching that. So,
well, the documentary that was made a couple of years ago by Zosimus. That's available on the RTE Player this week to watch. So,
and the two clubs, to be fair to both clubs, they've made huge strides, both clubs. Shamrock Rovers, obviously, the academy work, all that kind of stuff, and Bohemians, the work they're doing in the community, and they just keep getting better and better. And I'd say from their own personal point of view, Bohemians, they can't wait till it's redeveloped either, because imagine the gate money they're losing out on at the moment with these fixtures, because the interest in Bohemians is just brilliant at the moment.
It's practically sold out just based on membership and season tickets with Bohemians. That's how much people have got behind them now. From 5 or 6 years ago, you probably had 400 members and 200 season tickets on top of that, to 2,200.
Launching their own beers and everything.
Everybody is. Everybody knows that.
Both clubs have sold over 2,000 season tickets, as far as I know. So that's phenomenal.
Brilliant.
A lot of change at all clubs, of course, James, but St. Pat's, obviously Stephen O'Donnell came in as manager towards the back end of last season, but there's going to be a fair few new faces in their ranks. What's your expectation? What would represent a good season for St. Pat's?
I think if St. Pat's can grab that fourth place, to tell you the truth, I think that's where they're looking for. As you said, what was it, 5 points you said?
They missed out on
last year. I think they can pick them 5 points up. I think Stephen is probably looking to go a kind of Stephen Kenny route of football. With the players you see he's let go and the players he's taken in, I think he's looking for guys who are going to be able to play proper football from their feet and attack the way that you would normally see the Dundalk team attacking. I think that's where he's gone. I was a bit shocked with Kelly leaving them to go across the river to Bowes. But then I looked back at a couple of games. When I heard him leaving, I looked back at a couple of games that he played in last year, and there was a couple of games where he made slight mistakes. Do you know Stephen would be ticking them down as, here's the percentage where when he's one-on-one, he makes this mistake, that mistake. And that's probably the way Stephen's looking at it, and that's why he's gone. I think who he's brought in has been very good. Who he's kept has been very good as well. I know there was a lot of talk about Brendan Clark probably leaving on a loan or something like that, but I think Brendan was one of their best players last season. And he definitely won them several points. So I'm really looking forward to see what Steve O'Donnell does, and I hope Pat's let him have the time, because I think it's going to be a bit of a period like what Stephen Bradley had initially at Shamrock Rovers, and I think the club are going to have to let him have time and see where he goes with it. But I'm really looking forward to seeing them play. I think we need three or four teams, maybe five teams underneath Rovers and Dundalk to make the league more exciting. I think Pats are definitely going
to
be one of them.
Well, I'd like to think that on that note, I'd like to think that Chris Forrester will kick back into top gear
last
again.
Week. I hope it's not long term.
No, but this is the thing. But like, you know, because I think that midfield that they were trying to sort of build that football in unit again, and like that Billy King lad who's come over from Scotland as a real player, especially he sort of lost his way a bit, but a few years ago he was being tipped to go right to the top. So you know, then if
Pat's
young lads coming through as well, like Ben McCormick, if he gets any sort of a look at him, well, you know, it'd be very.
Pats for me are the most interesting story of going into the start of the season, because purely down to Stephen, obviously I admire him a lot as a player, know him very well, very determined, and I'm sure he's out to make a real impact now in his managerial career. Knows the game very well, does his homework as well. Obviously his friend Pat Craig has gone in with him too, so there's a good little team and partnership there, and I think it's a long time coming now before, like obviously we had the success under Liam with St. Pat's, but you'd like to see St. Pat's back on a consistent basis, kind of challenging at the top now again. And I think this, I don't, like James said, I think if they were to get into Europe, it'll be a successful season for them, and then maybe build on that. But the signing of Robbie Benson is a brilliant signing. Connor Cairns coming in is a very good goalkeeper. McClelland, who I like at UCD as well. Shane Griffin coming from Cork, I think, is a brilliant signing. Big fan of him. Maybe one of the reasons he got rid of young Kelly was because Luke McNally, who had a brilliant season at Drogheda, is back as well. Rory Feely is back from Waterford, who done very well at Waterford. And then you have the unknowns with the lads coming in from England, Scotland, Billy King, as Ed mentioned, Daniel Ward, Martin Rennie. The problem for them last year is just they didn't score enough goals. They were the third lowest scorer, St. Pat's. They only scored 29 goals, which is a dreadful return, really. So if they can up that, I see no reason why they shouldn't be challenging for that fourth place this year.
It's all changed, even the shed is gone.
Yeah.
So all change.
It looks strange,
doesn't it?
Invincible no more.
But James, if they hit the ground running, St. Pat's, could they kind of break up that, you know, duopoly of Dundalk and Shamrock Rovers?
I don't think they're going to reach that, to tell you the truth. I don't, like, I remember we just said this earlier on about Dundalk's slow start last year. The first game was obviously against Sligo Rovers.
Last season, 1-1.
Yeah, so Dundalk, even if they do that, I don't think Pats are going to get off to an absolute romping start. I don't think anybody will expect them to do it.
Their start is not bad. They've Waterford at home, Sligo away, and Derry at home.
Yeah.
It's not bad.
It depends on how the rest of them go. I think Rory Feely, I think Rory, since he left Pats and now is back there,
there's no way they're breaking that top two.
No, nobody is.
You even know that yourself.
Just threw it out there for the crack. But what about their opposition, Alan, on Friday night? Waterford, again, very much an unknown quantity, because Alan Reynolds has had to, well, he had to bide his time, but a flurry of signings in January, really. And again, we'll have to wait and see, but they potentially could be an exciting team to watch.
They could be as well, yeah. And obviously, Alan has done a good job since he's come in, and they were affected massively last year with the European stuff, and that really set them back, because they had all their hopes set on the fact that they would be, and we all know the story. And then there was talk of the owner being a bit disillusioned, and was he going to pull the plug? And it was hard on Alan, and then he lost players mid-season as well. So the fact that he just was able to keep the team in the division, I suppose, and then assess it then again at the end of the season, which is what they've done. The owner is behind them again, and they have made a few signings, a lot of unknowns. Matty Smith from Dundee United, he was on loan at Cove Rangers. Tyreek Wilson, who a lot of people know, came through the youth at Cherry Orchard International at 17, 19, 21 as well. Ali Coote, by all accounts, a creative midfielder from Brentford. So a lot of those lads are unknown. Robbie McCourt, who I've seen a few times at Bowes, was away in England, came back, never really managed to break into the Bowes first team, but he did quite well in the games. I think Michael O'Connor is a decent enough signing, because he did well for them last year when he signed. He's after re-signing. And there's a lad there, Allardyce, who I've seen a few times at Bohemians. I think he's a very good player as well. He'll add that big physical presence. Sam Bone, another one who was at Shamrock Rovers, big physical presence in the midfield. And Graham Cummins, a sign from Cork as well, who went through a bit of a barren time between Cork and Shamrock Rovers. So they are unknown, Adrian, but since Alan has gone in there, I think he's done a very good job. And again, as I mentioned a few minutes ago, they're another one of those teams in that fight to get into that third or fourth place, because between the four or five of those teams from third down to eighth, there's not much in those teams, really not.
Yeah, and they will be looking to try and push into the European spots, won't they? Because Lee Power is sticking with Watford, so clearly he's investing once again to give it another spin and perhaps break into Europe.
You need that, though, don't you? You need like, for it to work on the pitch, you need to know that everything behind the scenes is just ticking along nicely. You know, the less you hear about it, the better, you know, that sort of way. And, you know, I hope they sort of build on that rivalry as well with Cork this season as well. And like, you'd imagine Cork to be stronger, and, you know, there was good games between them last season. I think it will bring us a good edge to that end
region
of the country for sure. Yeah.
Okay, Shelburne back in the big time. James, are you looking forward to the return of football to Tulke Park? Premier Division football, that is, of course.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward, to tell you the truth. They basically had a Premier Division squad last year in the first division. Like, the team they had, they put together. What a wonderful first season for Ian Morris as well as a manager. Like, that was just phenomenal. I know we were all a bit shocked that he actually retired from football after his stint with Bowes to go and manage at Shells. But it's great to have them back. Absolutely wonderful to have them back. And that derby between Shells and Bowes is going to be a big, big game. Like, so that's where Bowes might slip down a bit in the point system. I think Shells will take points off them. Tulke Park, everybody loves to, I don't know anybody who doesn't like playing at Tulke Park. Really narrow, really tight pitch. Fans are on top of you. It'll be a great atmosphere there. It'll be really, really good.
Let's hear from one of the Shelburne leading lights, if you will. Kieran Kilduff, he'll be important in terms of getting goals, and he's looking forward to the start of the new season.
Pre-season's nearly over, so that's a bonus in itself. And with the season on the horizon, it's really exciting now, and there's some big games to start the season off as well. So I think the league's in a good place now as well, and there's a bit of excitement around the whole thing, so hopefully we can have a good season.
An obvious question, but how important is a good start?
For us, massive. You know, it's our first time back in the Premier in about 6 years, so you know, we haven't got an easy start away to Cork, home to Dundalk, and then away to Finn Harps on the Monday, so we'll be looking to hit the ground running. Obviously we had a successful campaign last year in the first division, but we know it's a bigger challenge this year, so a good start would be great. But you know, we know it's a longer season this year than it was last as well, so we'll be trying to hit the ground running, but we won't be panicking just yet. You know, it's a tough start, but we'll hopefully pick up points.
What about that step up from First Division to Premier?
Yeah, well, listen, I've had it in my career. I've played in the First Division for two seasons now in my career, and then the rest of them I've been in the Premier. So I know there is a massive gap in quality standard and demands physically, you know. There's more league games as well in it, so there's a lot in it. But I think for us as a group, we'll be okay. We're well equipped, we have a lot of experience, as I said. Me and many others in that dressing room have probably seen both sides of the coin, First Division, Premier, and there is a gap and a bigger expectation and demand on the body. But hopefully we'll be ready for it, and I think we have the players, as I said, to be competitive in this league. And we're not there to make up the numbers either. We have an ambitious manager and staff, and the club as a whole are trying to push on now. They don't want to just get promotion and go back down and be fighting a relegation battle and like that. You know, there's a plan here to push on as a club, so hopefully we can do that.
There you go, that's Kieran Kilduff. Shelburne, one of your old clubs, Alan. You must be absolutely chuffed to see them in the Premier Division.
Ah, it's great to see them back, Adrian, and especially, I suppose, all the talk that's going on about the game in this country at the moment in terms of change and moving forward and where we're going. It'd be a shame really to see the game move forward without a Shelburne and a good positive Shelburne, so it's great to see them back in the division. I went down to Tulke, as I said, on Friday night. Do they have enough to compete in this division? They'll compete, no problem, but in terms of those European places or anything like that, I'd be surprised if they get anywhere near that. I think it's a season for them just to establish themselves back in the Premier Division and then maybe look to build on that as well. He's made a couple of good signings. Obviously Shepherd has come in as well, a lot of experience. Carl, one to watch out for as well, and he played very well on Friday night. Gary Deegan, who if he remains fit, I know Gary since he was a young lad coming through, and he obviously went to England as well. Excellent player. He was unlucky with injuries in England, but they've already given him the captain's armband, and you can see why. Even in the game the other night, he was barking out orders at all the players, a lot of young players as well, and he'll be a shining light for them, I think, this year if he remains fit. But even though we spoke to Kieran Kilduff there, a lot is resting on his shoulders in terms of the goals and the goals return. And looking at when Kieran didn't play the other night, he came off the bench. I'm not sure if there's enough goals if he's not in the team, or even when he is in the team, to be honest, to see them up the top end. But as I said, I think if Ian Morris was, if you were to give him sixth or seventh position now, I think he'd be delighted with that.
Really looking forward to see Gary back playing football, I have to say here.
He looks in great, Nick.
I went to watch him. He was playing with Southend United, and I went to watch him a couple of times at Southend, and he was absolutely brilliant. Like, he was bossing players around, putting his physicality onto the game, really gives it 100% every time he goes out onto the pitch. So I'm really, really looking forward to him getting back onto the pitch and seeing how he goes with Shelburne. I think same with Alan. I think if you hit that middle spot, I think that's a good season with Shells. They just need to consolidate a position within the Prem this time, because the first division is going to be, it's getting harder and harder to get out of that first division.
A little quirky thing with the team as well, the other night he played and I know it just looked wrong almost that the two centre halves were both left footed, so you had Luke Byrne and Daniel O'Reilly, and two very good players, but you see it so often with right footed centre halves, no problem, it never looks weird, you just see two left footers, it just looked wrong almost. But Dan Byrne could maybe come back in there as well, he wasn't playing there tonight, so I would like to see them do well. As I said, if they were to just establish themselves back in the Premier, I think that would be a good season for them.
But they're coming back, like if you look at, as you said, last year they did a strong team and this year they're stronger again, and they've got experience there, and these lads are going to come in, they will not be phased one bit by the game. The fact that they're coming back into at Dublin, where the league is thriving at the moment, at Rovers, at Bowes, they'll just slot right back into that mix, and suddenly that game will be, you know,
I think it makes it harder, Ed, for those Dublin clubs, because they're all the derbies.
Yeah, they won't like it. Rovers and Bowes won't, you know,
an extra derby
on. Too happy with that. Yeah, and going over to Talca. Talca's a very, very difficult place to go to on the best of days. You know, so like.
Do you mean traffic wise or just
you've made a few moves today, come on.
No, listen, fairness,
you're giving out about Bowes and now Shelburne.
No, but I'm trying to be nice to Shelburne here. I think they can make that a pretty, I won't call it a fortress, but they make it a very hard place to come to.
I think they will take points.
New floodlights off. And everything.
Yeah, I think they will take points off the Dublin teams. Like, I think
and Deegan, I think, like you said, Deegan's a great player. Like, he sort of seems like, I think he's only 32, but he seems a lot older.
Yeah,
he's
been really around forever, yeah.
Really hope he has that game that and that can get him right through the season.
Well, they start away to Cork City Shelburne. Let's hear from Cork City's new striker, Conor Davis.
I think expectations from the people around Cork will be high.
Unrealistic?
No, I don't think. Well, you know, it's hard to say. It's basically an overhaul of players. I think the fans understand that it's a young squad, it's a new squad. It will take us a bit of time to gel once the league starts. But I think we as players, we have high expectations ourselves. I think the league will be very competitive this season, but I think we'll be well up to it. I think in this league, anyone can beat anyone on their day. You just never know. I think we'll do okay this season, yeah.
Because of the success Cork have had, relatively recent success, does that, in a way, hinder this current squad because the expectations are maybe still a little bit unrealistic?
I don't think so. I think, of course, like Cork have had great success over the years. But I think it gives us as players that bit of drive that we really want to bring that success back to Cork. Cork's a club that needs, that deserves to be in the top two, three teams in Ireland. So we have that drive to bring it back to those positions.
And in terms of the manager and stuff, I mean, he's obviously well settled in now at this stage.
He is, yeah. Yeah, he came the end of last season, so he basically bought in a whole new squad this season, and he's been telling us, getting his point across in how he wants to play, the style, tactics on, off the ball, etc. So, no, I think it's great manager, great staff up in Cork. They have us working really hard. Hopefully come the first game of the season, all this hard work will pay off.
That's Cork City's Conor Davis. Didn't quite work out for him, James, at Derry City after his move from UCD, but he was badly troubled by injuries, of course.
Yeah, he's troubled by injuries, and then you've got Parkhouse in front of him. Like, he was never going to get a good run at the game. I think he was there as a backup striker more than anything else. So it didn't really work out for him. I hope it does work out, because he's the same at UCD as well. Like, he was in and out of the squad at UCD, and he seems to have a good pedigree. Now, his only problem is, and you've probably seen it from the photographs at the launch, he's not exactly going to be a threat in the air, or he's not exactly going to hold balls up for you up front. He's more of a guy, you put it in behind the defence and he's going to sprint onto it. But
His hold of play is quite good, James.
It is if it's to his feet.
He'd always drop into that little 10 area when he was at UCD and all. I know what you're saying about the physical presence.
Well,
like, he's small and stocky.
He'll come short for the ball and look for it.
And he's good on the ball.
It's what he has around him, I think.
Yeah, and that's the problem. I think Neil is... I don't know if he's going to be in for a shock this year or not. I know he went in at a bad time for Cork last year. They had a really, really poor run of results. If any manager in this league needs to start well, it has to be him, because I think the Cork fans, if it starts poorly again, the Cork fans will just...
Oh, well, I think the Cork fans have to be a bit realistic as well in where they're at. Neil is not exactly taking over a John Caulfield squad. Like, yeah, they were in free fall last year, and the squad has been decimated from the squad that was challenging with Dundalk. So I think the fans need to be realistic as well. And obviously, of course, he deserves time. They were the third lowest scorers in the league last year with Pats, with only 29 goals. So that needs to be rectified. Another thing that stood out for me last year as well with the Madryn, out of the 18 games they played at home, they only won 4. And when you think back when they were going toe-to-toe with Dundalk, it was the hardest place in the country to go, Turner's Cross. Yeah. So that needs to be rectified as well, and try and get back to some sort of, I wouldn't say Fortress Cork, but some sort of better form at home. You look at the players that he signed, I think if you go through Keane Coleman, Dylan McLeod, Corey Galvin, Connor Davis, that's the mark of Cork City are in now, unfortunately for them. They're not signing the best players in the league anymore. And then you look at lads they brought in from England, Joe Redmond, Rayon Dillon, Henry Okieng. These are unknowns. We know nothing about these lads. Obviously, they came through Crystal Palace, West Ham, as young fellas like most did, but they've been playing in lower leagues in England. So it's going to be a really, really difficult season for Cork and for Neil. From a personal point of view, I know Neil really well, and I hope he does really well, because it was a big, big jump for him to go to Cork City last year. I know he toyed with the idea for a long time and he felt it was just too good to turn down. But I felt as though he thought it was going to be a lot better than what he ended up going into, and that's the problem for him now, when the realisation has hit home, and that's where he's at. So again, I wouldn't be, if I was a Cork City fan, I wouldn't be thinking for one moment we're going to be up near the top end of the table. They'll be somewhere in around mid table, and they should be happy with that, I think.
Okay, patience may be required. The other game on Friday night, Northwest Derby, Finn Harps against Sligo Rovers, 8 o'clock kickoff at Finn Park. Let's hear from Sligo Rovers midfielder David Cawley.
We done all right last year. We done okay with new manager and new players coming in, but everyone's pretty much stuck for the second year going now. Liam's got everyone signed back, and you know, we'd be looking to kick on a little bit more. I suppose last year reaching the semi-final of the cup kind of was the highlight, but we want to hit them heights again, hopefully a bit more.
In terms of improving Sligo's league position, I mean, is there any one thing specifically you think you need to improve on?
We didn't really have a massive squad last year, and you know, injuries and suspensions kind of, you know, we had to really change our team around. We never had a set 11, set formation. We kind of, you know, when injuries kicked in and that, we just need to, you know, we've a few more players, extra players this year, you know, lads that can step in and fill the role straight away. Young lads pushing us older lads through. You know, home form last year was really good. We'd like to keep that going and add a bit more on the away form. And we'll be all right if we can do that.
Traditionally, the Showgrounds is a difficult place to go, isn't it? I mean, you presumably, as you say there, you really want to, you know, make that even more so this season.
Exactly, yeah. Because a couple of years ago, it was a little bit the opposite, to be honest with you. We struggled at home. And last year, we turned it around again. Performances were good at home, and, you know, fans really got behind us again. And it was like back in the good times, really, like, you know. So a bit more of that this year now, and hopefully we can get the away form going up as well, because if you can pick points away from home, you know, and keep your home form good, you know, you'll do well.
There you go, that's David Cawley of Sligo Rovers, seventh last season, FAI Cup semi-finalists. What do you reckon, Alan? I'm not overly optimistic for Sligo Rovers this season.
No, and I'm not either, Adrian, and it's sad for us too to say that, but we have to be honest, and they've been seventh in the last two seasons. I know David spoke there about progress, but they finished in the exact same place and the exact same points as what they did the previous year. I know they got to the cup semi-final, and there was a lot of interest in that, and it was big for the town, but ultimately they lost that. And you look at the signings again, Gary Buckley's a good signing from Cork City, obviously. After that, unknowns. Darren Noon is coming in from the first division. Jesse Devers was with Finn Harps, Galway. Will Seymour, an American lad, playing in Cincinnati, I think, with Richie Ryan.
Good player. Saw them against Drogheda United. Now he's good.
Okay, hopefully, yeah. And then the big lad, the Finnish lad at the back as well, I think Penning Kanga. So the biggest blow for them was obviously the fact that they lost Romeo Parks as well in the off-season. Massive blow. He was brilliant for them last year. And then John Mahon, who I'm a massive fan of, had that horrendous injury a couple of weeks ago on that loan. So I don't know, Adrian. Like, it's hard to be really optimistic and hopeful when you list out those things and you look at them. And last year, again, like, you're going back to something similar to what I was saying about Cork. The Showground should be one of the toughest places to go in the country. They only won five games there last year out of 18. Like, that needs to improve rapidly as well. Where the goal's going to come from, I don't know. Ronan Coughlin, I'm a big fan of. I like him. after that, I'm struggling.
And will they struggle? Is that what you're suggesting? You know, in terms of the relegation, yeah. who are we looking at, Alan?
Well, I think in terms of the relegation, I think they'll be... I think Shelburne will be down. They'll be somewhere down fighting it anyway. Finn Harps, even though Finn Harps, we'll get to them and have done a lot of good business, I think they will be down there as well. And I think Sligo and Cork will be probably, they'll be the four teams, I'd say, that'll be fighting for it.
What do you reckon, Ed?
Well, do you know what? Before I listened to the two Sligo men in the studio, I was quietly optimistic with Sligo Rovers. I thought they were, you know, they showed good form at stages at the latter end of last season. They
finished seventh, Ed.
I know, but I was impressed. The cup run was good. That performance they put in against Dundalk, you know,
they played really well.
Showed on the potential that they had. I did think that they, you know, with a couple of signings in the offseason, they may have stepped up a bit. As you said, they've lost some very key players, and that injury is a horrendous way to. So late ahead of the season as well. That's nasty. But Coughlin's a good player, and obviously Lewis Banks is still there as well.
Lewis Banks, very good player.
And the Finnish lad is a bit of a monster, a bit of a man mountain. So he's, you know, if they can stay solid and strong, and then like they naturally be playing a bit of ball as well. So he's still looking
for that out and out striker. But
yeah, and to be fair to Liam, like he did bring back. There was a bit more of a feel-good factor around the place last year, and even from speaking to people and crowds were good and that kind of stuff. Almost to the point where I think he got a bit of a free pass last year, Liam. And I think things have to improve. They're a full-time setup. They've everything going for them down there in terms of the resources and the support that they get. And I think they have to improve on seventh. Whether they will or not, I don't know.
What about the signings made by Mr. Ollie Horgan for Finn Harris? Barry McNamee, that's just so eye-catching.
Barry's a great signing for him. In fairness to Ollie, I think if Ollie has to go through another season like he did last year, that pen he used to sign on is going to be used around the changing room once or twice, and some fellas might be feeling it on the back of their heads. I think there was a good buzz around. I was at the playoff final last year when they won it, and in the death basically to stay in the Premiership, and the buzz around the ground that day was really what you would expect of Finn Harps. And if they can get that buzz going in the ground, that ground is probably one of the hardest grounds to go to and try and play football in the country. I don't care what anybody says, it's like one of the hardest pitches to go on. No matter how fit you are, the players seem to come off it absolutely shattered, and it's a negative for a neutral trying to watch a game of football, but it's a positive for Finn Harps because that's how they gain their points. I think thing a centre half.
Well, it's no coincidence you say that, because out of the seven games they won last year, six of them were at home.
Yeah.
And their away form was horrendous. They only won one. So obviously, you're right in what you say, James. It is a very tough place to go. I think that's what found Drogheda out. Yeah. Drogheda were going up there trying to play football because they're that type of team.
Yeah.
But they were just ground out of it.
In fairness, on the day of the match had never gone ahead. It was like a swimming pool. The pitch was in bits from the start. But, you know, it's them small margins that keep clubs in the Premier Division. And Ollie has done it time after time after time after time.
He deserves massive credit, Ollie Horgan. I'm a big fan of him. He's a great bloke. He does his homework. He goes to matches. He cares so much. And I think he's done good business, Adrian. You mentioned Barry McNamee. Barry McNamee's a great player.
Yeah.
Like, I'm surprised whatever's gone on, something's gone on behind the scenes there with Derry. I'm very surprised to see him go.
Well, he's keen to go part-time. I think that's the
Yeah, and in some ways... I don't want to be critical of the lad, because I will be critical of him, because I've praised him a lot over the years. But why would you want to go part time?
In fairness, you just have to take the lad on what he wants to do, on his merits.
Shane McElhenney is another one. Big centre half, was at Larne. Obviously, we all know him from Derry City. Shane's a good player as well. Yeah. And they've signed a lad on loan as well, at Siddiqui. So, a couple of lads, Sean Kelly and Carlos Sullivan from Limerick. So, he's done good business again, Ollie. And you have to admire him from that, because it must be very, very hard for him to obviously attract players, get them in.
Cowan went off to
Cowan's
the
gone
Irish
up
League.
The north as well. Big start for them as well. They've obviously Sligo Rovers it.
Yeah.
Big derby on. Yeah. And then they've Derry as well away the following game. That's the TV game as well. So,
the big derby.
We'll come back and get your predictions very shortly, but the First Division, James, due to start a week later, but in the last couple of weeks, we don't really know what's going on. We've had Limerick in and Limerick out, and Shamrock Rovers with their second team. What do you make of it all?
I don't know what to make of it, to tell you the truth. I think I don't think there's any harm in having Shamrock Rovers in there to make up numbers. Like, do you know what I mean?
But they're not in it to make up numbers.
No, but that's a stupid argument. To make sure, my problem with the First Division is, right, and it was the problem I had last season, at the end of last season, you got Drogheda who are going to play in the final of the playoff in the First Division, having to wait 5 weeks to play a match. So if we had, if they had 10 teams in the division and copied the Prem, then we'd have teams fit and ready to go up against Premier Division teams in a playoff. The way it is at the minute, it's unfair on the First Division team because they're so far out of kilter.
Oh yeah, that cost that cost but that's not the reason Shamrock Rovers are putting a team in just to make up numbers. Shamrock Rovers are putting a team in to develop their players, and I know there's been a lot of talk about this and a lot of criticism levelled at Shamrock Rovers, and people think I'm against Shamrock Rovers. I'm for the league and players. I'm praising Shamrock Rovers on this, because if they feel as though they've a brilliant youth set up in academy, and if they feel as though the lads are getting to 19 and there's nothing after that for them and they have to let lads go because the gap is too big then to go into a first team, and they're prepared to put in a team and sustain a team in the First Division to develop their players for their betterment, I applaud them for that. And it's up to all the other clubs to sort themselves out, and they should be applauded for that as well. And it's not Shamrock Rovers' problem that there's nothing in between an under 19 and a first team setup. That's an FEI or a league's problem, administration
this
problem.
This is where the A-League was brilliant.
The A-League was absolutely brilliant where
you had players who weren't getting time were playing in the A-League, or you had players from your first team who were injured coming back and needing match fitness.
That's the problem. That's the crux of the problem. But from a Shamrock Rovers point of view,
it's not their fault.
Absolutely not. And I'd have no problem with them putting in. The only thing you might need to sort out the complexities in terms of, are they allowed two overage players or three? Like, you can't be having.
Yeah.
And they said it themselves. It's not like Jack Byrne is going to come down and be playing in the First Division. So that's maybe a couple of things to iron out. But in terms of them putting in a team at a big cost to them, a big financial cost to sustain a team, and then you have to look at teams giving out about, oh, will demean the league. They'll be playing in Tall in a beautiful stadium, the clubs will be going to. Look at some of the grounds around the other teams in the First Division.
Yeah, I don't see any
issue. Am I sticking up for Shamrock Rovers here?
No, look, I think the obvious comparison was when once Vinnie Perth was asked about it, once the news came out, he was straight away, he said, yeah, great idea. I'd be very keen to get a Dundalk team in there as well. The First Division's done itself no favours over the last 5-6 years. It's been a hard watch with fixtures, the amount of games, teams dropping out and stuff. So from a neutral point of view, this is a positive story for the First Division. The last time Shamrock Rovers did it, I don't think there was any dissent from any team. And that team that Rovers, the time Rovers did it the last time, they weren't ready to do it really. And you know, they were buying players just for that team specifically. But the team that will be on show for Shamrock Rovers, it'll be
young development team.
But it'll be like young, underage international players coming through. There'll be lads, as you
said, the experience they'll be gaining,
nowhere to go,
playing men's football every week. It'll be brilliant for them. Absolutely. And if the first team and Stephen Bradley are to benefit from that in the long run, that's their club. That's what they're entitled to do.
Alan, since the last podcast way back in November, a lot of change within the FEI. We have a new interim CEO, Gary Owens. Also, Niall Quinn has gone in there as deputy interim CEO. The Kieran Lucid proposals ongoing in the background. I know you were at one of the briefings there quite recently. Where do you think football is at in this country right now?
Well, when you speak about the First Division thing, it's a shambles. But then you get to obviously the Premier Division, and we're all looking forward to the season starting. And obviously the change that has happened in recent weeks in terms of Niall Quinn, Gary Owens, that type of stuff, I think it will be a positive in the long run. I know people were sceptical about the process, how it came about, and I know Niall Quinn addressed a couple of those questions himself, but he's mentioned the League of Ireland in every interview that he's spoken about so far. So the proof will be in the pudding now in terms of the emphasis that he puts on that. And I think there will be a big emphasis, and I think it will be positive in the long run for the league, because for far too many years, as we all know, the league here has been neglected. We've spoken about it many, many times. So I would like to be optimistic about the future in terms of the changes that will come. You mentioned the All-Ireland League thing. I went to that presentation a couple of weeks ago, and it was brilliant, Adrian. Honestly, I think it would transform football in this country if you could get all parties on board. I know the northern clubs are probably a bit more against it than what we are, but in terms of everything it would create in this country, an industry, the commercial revenue, it would be positives everywhere. I don't see a drawback in it whatsoever when you actually put the data on paper and you look at it and you drill down through the figures. I really don't see a negative in it whatsoever.
I don't know. I think it's given a new lease of life to people. I think people are starting to think of the league in a different way. I think that's good. That's all positives. There are some negatives. I know some of the clubs are a bit worried about the figures, as you're suggesting. And that's not just clubs in the north of the country. It's clubs playing here in the League of Ireland that are a bit sceptical about the figures, which still have
to
be...
They're all behind it.
They're behind it as a plan, but they need to see the figures and where the figures are coming from and stuff like that. They're all very encouraged by it, and anything that's talking about the league and making the league better, everybody can be encouraged by it, do you know what I mean? But they need the nitty gritty details of where the finance is coming from, how the finance is going to be gauged and stuff like that, which I'm sure Kieran, I'm sure I think he's given to the end of March, is it? And he's a very, very determined man, and there's no question about that, and he's very, very good
now, at the scenarios that they put up though in terms of split seasons and all. I'd be totally against that.
That's
stuff.
The way it's going to have to happen.
Well, it won't happen. Well, then I would be totally against it.
That's the way it's going
to
have to happen.
It has to be, the more radical the better. So unless they're going for the whole lot, this crack is split seasons and player season here, and we'll play ours and then we'll split it in half, I'd be totally against that.
I think that's the bending that needs to happen to have both organisations.
Dundalk to win the league. Any dissenting voices?
It's hard to look past Dundalk now,
or Shamrock Rovers.
Rovers
I chased the Rovers last year.
I'm going Dundalk to win the league, but I do think Shamrock Rovers will put up a, I'm hoping to put up a big challenge.
I said Rovers last year, and I was bitterly disappointed in the middle of their season, and I think Dundalk, just to who they've added and adding very little, will still have it this year. I think they'll come all the way.
And I said Shamrock Rovers last year, but I'm back in Dundalk this time.
How about if I say, if Rovers are in the mix in the last round of games,
you can't say that. It's
important, like the game, like.
It's not important. All in or nothing.
The league was gone by mid-season last year. So if come the first round of the last first match in the last round of games, if it's neck and neck, or if there's two or three points.
What kind of direction is that?
If they're on their coattails.
If the wind blows the right way.
That's all I've got.
Alright lads, listen, we leave it there. James O'Toole, Alan Cawley, Ed Leahy. Just a quick reminder as well, Shamrock Rovers visiting Bohemians on Saturday afternoon at Dalyman Park. It's live on RTE2 television, kickoff at 2 o'clock. Also live on RTE Radio 1's Saturday Sport. Until next week, bye bye.